Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio at North Point Executive Suites, it's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to North Fulton Business Radio. This is our second show. We're not rookies anymore, John.
Nope, we're not.
I'm Mike Salmon alongside my co-host, John Ray, and we've got three more great guests in the studio. Before we tell you all about them, a quick reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at NorthFultonBRX. And of course, you can listen to any of our shows at NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. And we're now linked into iTunes. Mm-hmm. So our shows automatically go into iTunes. You can download any of our shows on iTunes as well. Mr. Ray, how are you today?
Wonderful. It's a great day to be in Alpharetta, right?
It's always a great day to be in Alpharetta. Yeah. Even when the weather's a little rainy like today, it's always a great day to be in Alpharetta.
Absolutely.
We've got three more business leaders in the studio today. Let's introduce you to them. First of all, first and foremost, we have the mayor of Alpharetta here in the studio, Mr. David Bell Isle. How do I refer to you, David? Mr. Mayor, Mayor David, how do you like for me to recognize you?
David.
Okay.
Works just fine.
I like that. Just
answer
down
to it every time.
Down to earth. Okay. So the mayor is with us. Also joining us is Greg Burkhalter with Greg Burkhalter, the LinkedIn guy. And you are the LinkedIn guy. Greg, welcome to the program.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
And Dale Sizemore is the co-founder of VotaWorks, and he's here as well. Dale, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We're going to start the program with your permission, John.
I'm with you, pal.
All right. With the mayor, Mayor David Bell Isle. David, for those that are not familiar with you, tell us a little bit about your background yet. We're going to talk about maybe what you do as far as your business. But as far as mayor, how long have you been mayor? Why did you decide to run and how's it gone so far?
Well, first, Mike and John, thank you so much for having me today. And it's great to be here. I've been mayor now for 5 years and it feels like about 5 months. So a lot has happened in the city of Alpharetta. I've been involved in the leadership of Alpharetta since 2006. But this is obviously a different role. And man, there's been a lot of things happened in the last 5 years.
Why did you decide, 5 years ago now when you became mayor, why did you decide that you wanted to become mayor?
Yeah, for me, it was very simple. And it's the same reason I ran for council. And this was just a better platform to accomplish the same thing. And you know, for me, it was all about downtown. We have so many great blessings, so many great things with respect to the city of Alpharetta, great schools. We have great businesses, great quality of life. But the one thing that we did not have 5 years ago was an active and engaged downtown. And one of the reasons that's so important, everything I do with respect to the city of Alpharetta and trying to lead really comes down to two things. And one is to make Alpharetta a hometown for the majority of its residents. And the other is to make it the number one technology city in the Southeast. And in the idea of making it a hometown, why that's important is that Alpharetta, it's 157 years old. And I tell people this all the time, but 30 years ago, there were less than 3,000 people in the city of Alpharetta. Today, there's about 64,000 residents. There's 120,000 people right now who are working in this city. And so if you're going to make Alpharetta your hometown, you have to make that decision because you probably didn't grow up here. You know, the number of people that grew up here 30 years ago and that were here, statistically, it's a small percentage. And so if we're going to be a city that really connects and is a place that you want to call your hometown, we have to make it irresistible. And that's what we began doing 5 years ago with respect to Alpharetta, is really beginning a process of making an irresistible city. And it started with food. We actually brought the food in through food trucks. It started with events in terms of introducing people to our downtown. That attracted shops. It attracted restaurants. And now we have just really a burgeoning downtown, which is creating this connection, and people are starting to move into the downtown. They're walking their dogs, things that you would see. I could drive by 5 years ago. I could drive through downtown, look in the windows at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and there was nobody there. You know, there was nobody downtown on a Sunday walking. There was nothing happening. And today we're about halfway where we need to be. We did a new city center project and they'll break ground on the private side of that development in August. You're seeing reimagined pieces of our downtown, redeveloped pieces of our downtown. The pieces that were there originally are starting to do better than they ever have before. And so that's where it starts. And then we've been able to actually grow that and make it where, okay, now Avalon has come along. Now, Avalon is amazing. I mean, it is exactly what a downtown usually is not, which is it's all pristine and new and it's kind of glitzy. But we've begun the process through the Thompson Street corridor. They're only a half a mile apart. We've begun the process of connecting those with a linear park. And then in addition to that, we are working on a process where we'll be actually connecting a third point off Haynesbridge Road, really trying to make this kind of triangle type area where we connect all the businesses to the amenities between having downtown and Avalon and the things that are to come. So it's really becoming that hometown that we always wanted it to be. It is, I always say it's kind of a cross between Austin, Texas and Mayberry, and that's a good balance to have.
Well, now let's talk about the Austin part of that metaphor. I read something the other day about seeing and recognizing are two different things. And one of the successes I think you've had is recognizing the technology assets that are in Alpharetta, shining a light on them and highlighting them, making them stronger. So unpack that a little bit for us.
Absolutely. You know, when I became mayor, we were always known or have been in recent times as a business friendly community. And that's great. You know, we have a lot of Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 1000 companies, and it was known as kind of a corporate headquarters type city. But one of the things that we had never really done is taken stock in A, how we got there, and B, what exact kind of businesses do we have? And when we began taking an assessment and realizing and recognizing what was here in Alpharetta, what we realized is first, the reason we became the way we are is we had very early on a very extensive fiber optic cable network, which I don't, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think any city leader ever decided it or planned on it, but it was, I think, a business in terms of AT&T coming up on Wilmer Parkway and other businesses following that. And we were really just kind of fanning that flame. But over time, we had a lot of businesses that no one actually took stock or inventory of. And what we recognized is that, wait a minute, we have over 600 technology companies in the city of Alpharetta. And that sounds significant, but it sounds even more significant when you stop to think, wait a minute, the city of Atlanta has just about 300 technology companies. And when you look at Austin, Texas, which is typically seen as the technology city for the Southeast, and rightly so, given its million population and being the capital of their state, it has 600 technology companies. And then you start looking around at the, to our north, south, east, and west, just across the border in Roswell and Johns Creek and South Forsyth and Milton, there's another 300 technology companies. And so what we decided to do is, wait a minute, we don't know anything about technology. I'm a closing attorney by trade, and that means I have a laptop. It means I have an iPhone, but it doesn't mean I'm a technologist. And so we began to go to those in our own city who had experience, who had leadership, and we went to those gentlemen and ladies, and we created the Alpharetta Technology Commission and leveraged, you know, their experience, their leadership, their expertise to figure out where to go. And we created the Technology Commission now, I guess, gosh, it's now 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And began really just with very simple goals. We began, look, we need to, A, brand Alpharetta for what it is, because nobody knew it as a technology city, even though we were. We needed to make sure that things like that fiber optic cable network, that we needed to continue to lead in that. We can't simply just let that lie in the ground and be done with that. We need to continue to find what's next. We knew that we needed to engage. This is the interesting thing, is that so many of our technology companies didn't know they were even in Alpharetta. If you were to ask them, they would just say Atlanta. And oftentimes in industry type events, they would get in a car, they would go down 400 and they would have whatever industry connection down there. And then they would both get in a car and go up the exact same road, not knowing that they're only blocks apart. And so that's another part, is just trying to engage those businesses in Alpharetta with one another. It's led to some amazing successes. We were able, with the very first part of the Technology Commission, before it was actually formally commissioned, when we only had maybe half of the people agreeing to be on it just at that point, we were able to use that group to help bring Gwinnett Tech and their new campus to Alpharetta. And of course, they opened earlier this year. With the commission fully formed, we were able to begin the process of bringing a conference center to the city of Alpharetta, which will be at Avalon, and that will be an opportunity for great big technology things in the Southeast to happen here in the city of Alpharetta. And Dale Sizemore is here, has been a part of our one of the things was to help new technology startup companies and to be able to create a place where in an environment where these new companies, these new ideas, these new innovations could begin and come forth. And so we created an innovation center, which is doing very well. And we're in the process of figuring out how to duplicate that and bring it on a bigger scale. And we've had a lot of successes. We've already had our very first graduate out of that facility, Basecamp Networks, which is, I think, going to do some really big things. And so it's just been tremendous to see, the trek forward in terms of technology. And this Sunday, I mean, it just always, we keep getting accolades. I'm not going to keep bragging on everyone, but the most recent one I'll mention, DataFox is a company out of California, and they recently measured the technology cities outside California and New York, and Alpharetta was named number 12. I think they missed the mark a little bit, but
by about 12 spots.
That's right. That's right. But they recognize what's happening here. And I was telling this to Dale earlier, when it comes to Alpharetta, when you think about it, we're only 22 square miles. It's not a huge city. But when you start thinking about what's here in terms of companies and in terms of infrastructure, in terms of innovation, in terms of ideas, pound for pound, I can't think of any better technology city for a 22 square mile. When we're holding our own against Austin, Texas, which has nearly 1 million people, we're doing all right.
You have a lot to be proud of because a lot of this obviously happened in your watch. So congratulations to you and all the leaders of the city for all this great stuff that is happening in Alpharetta. I want to go back to something you said earlier, David, and we're talking with the mayor of Alpharetta, David Belle Isle, here on North Fulton Business Radio. You mentioned the growth, how 30 years ago it was about 3,000 residents or so forth. We talked about this before the show, I actually went to high school here. I'm a graduate of Milton High School, so I remember when there was nothing here but horse farms, and now I get lost. The growth is unbelievable. Is there concern about too much growth? Maybe not growing too quickly, but just growing too much, that there won't be any more room eventually.
Well,
do you have to control that somehow?
We do, and we try to do that in kind of a very smart way. You've certainly seen, and I'm not going to name any particular areas because that wouldn't be nice. but there are certainly you see cities that have developed in a not a great way. It was kind of an anything goes in terms of design, in terms of use, in terms of appearance, and those cities, even the ones that aren't necessarily that dense, it's much harder to redevelop than it is to develop right in the first place. And Alpharetta, we try to balance the residential and the business situation. We've created, I think, a great environment for both families as well as businesses in a very good way. It's just a very aesthetically pleasing. It's a beautiful city. We're always focused on roads. We have a bond project right now. In fact, go vote May 24th. So we have a $50 million bond project that is going to be parks and roads. And we're constantly trying to figure out how to balance between the growth that is here and the residents' needs and the ability to get around the city. But I think we've done it. I mean, about patting ourselves on the back, I think we've done it better than anybody else. We've really made a good balance of that, and it's been responsible and good growth in that we've looked at downtown. We've all the components of business, of residents, of restaurant, of store are all there. And then Avalon has that same component and then connecting those, but they're all in kind of the core of the city with the residential, the traditional more subdivision and family oriented residential products being on our extremities. So is it perfect? Do people have traffic problems? No, it's not perfect. And yes, there is traffic. Anytime you got a place where people want to be, you're going to have some traffic. But I do think that Alpharetta handles it better than any other city I know.
Now, David, one of the things we talked about before we came on the air was you're really an entrepreneur as well, which I think as an entrepreneur myself and the others on this show and in Alpharetta, that's cool because you understand, you've got the T-shirt, you understand what that journey is all about. Talk a little bit about your background there.
I got the T-shirt, the bruises and the road rash. We've had great time. My firm is, it's a law firm, it's Hypes and Belle Isle. I started it in 2007 as a solo practitioner. Those first few years were good until the economy tanked. In 2010, I paid for the privilege of saying that I was in business. I mean, we literally paid. You're supposed to make money in business, and we didn't make any money that year. In fact, we, just to keep our staff, we paid quite a bit, and thank goodness 2011 was better because there's only so many of those years you can handle and you can survive. So the economy has since much improved, and things are going well, but business is not for the faint of heart. And there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes with any business. And if you've survived now, gosh, next year will be our 10th year. That's a number. Wow. Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, David, John, we need to have another show with just David. We could talk with David all day long about the great things happening in Alpharetta. We do want to get to Greg, obviously, and Dale. So, Mayor, we appreciate your time, David, and thank you for joining us. Congratulations on all the success. And I know you're finishing out this term and you can't run again after that, which is, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You're probably looking forward to a little bit of a break. But do you want to give any contact information for your law firm, a website or anything, if anybody wants to check into using you for your law services?
Yeah, our website is hbilawfirm.com. It's Hypes Belle Isle. We would certainly love to help. And my specific practice, although we do litigation and employment law and wills and estates, my specific practice is all around finance and real estate. So love to help.
Okay. And for those that want to, and of course, our shows are listened to all over the country. Anyone that wants to find out more about Alpharetta, Georgia, what's the best website to send people to so they can see all this great stuff that you've been talking about?
Alpharetta.ga.us is our website. And from there, you can get just about everything you want to know about Alpharetta.
The mayor of Alpharetta, Mayor David Belle Isle, joining us here on North Fulton Business Radio. David, pleasure to meet you for the first time, and look forward to maybe having you back hopefully sometime soon.
Perfect. Thank you for having me.
All right. David Belle Isle here on North Fulton Radio. As we've said before, as you heard in the intro, we're broadcasting from the Roswell Infinity Studio here in Alpharetta, Georgia. I want to let you know that Roswell Infinity is one of the original Infinity dealerships in the entire country. They aim to provide top-notch customer service and are dedicated to providing a stress-free environment when purchasing or servicing your vehicle. For more information, visit them at RoswellInfinity.com or follow Roswell Infinity on Facebook or on Twitter. You could probably also follow them on LinkedIn, I bet.
Absolutely.
Do you know anything about LinkedIn, John?
A little bit, but I need a little lesson. So
the guy we're about to talk to probably has forgotten more than we'll ever know about LinkedIn, because he is the LinkedIn guy. Greg Burkhalter is here in the studio, the LinkedIn guy. Greg, thanks for joining us. Tell us what you do. You are the LinkedIn guy.
What I do is I help people with their personal branding, which is a really strong buzzword these days, because your personal brand is extremely important in the business world. Well, I help you develop and define your personal brand and then present it in the digital realm via LinkedIn and have your personal brand grow. Because there's a couple of things about your personal brand you need to know. One is your brand is not what you say you are. Your brand is what others say you are. So when you create a LinkedIn profile, you're defining what you want your brand to be. That is not your brand. It is your brand once you hear your brand coming back to you from other people. Until that point, you're still in brand development mode.
Now, let me ask you this, though. LinkedIn, and you're the LinkedIn guy, and you're making a living being the LinkedIn guy. Because I was thinking, that's so narrow. But how do you get your business? How do you build your business? I find that fascinating what you do.
Well, one thing I noticed early on when I were talking to people about their personal brand, it is a very sensitive area. So even if I recognize someone has a flaw with their personal brand, I cannot directly approach that person. What I found works best for me is for me to have speaking engagements where people can hear me talk, recognize a need, and then privately approach me with a desire for me to help. So that's how I get a lot of my business clientele, is from speaking. Of course, being on LinkedIn, I get a lot of business from people seeing my professional brand. Because on LinkedIn, I'm out there building relationships, trying to help other people, trying to create a positive community on LinkedIn. And that also comes back to help me in my branding.
Now, Greg, let's talk about personal branding for a second. Why is that so important today versus years ago? Yeah.
Well, one thing was, I never heard the term 10 years ago. I never heard of personal branding. When you said the word branding, you thought of a logo or maybe a catchphrase. Well, what has changed dramatically is when I first entered the workforce, when somebody asks you what you do, the first thing you would say is the company you work for and what you do at that company. That's changed now because employer loyalty to their employees is down. So personal branding and the need to do it is really high. Nowadays, when somebody says, what do you do? You're going to tell them what your job position is and where you work. It's reverse order. So what you're allowed to do with LinkedIn is document your consistency and brand focus. That is why LinkedIn is the home of your personal professional brand. It will be from now until the end of your professional career. So make sure you take care of it, you protect it, and grow it.
Greg, why LinkedIn? Why are you not the Facebook guy? Why are you not the Twitter guy?
Well, what's interesting I found out is LinkedIn, one of the things I like about it is it's not an easy platform. It is not an opportunist platform. You can't get on there and do anything fast, okay? It takes a strategy, it takes commitment, and it takes knowledge to know what you're doing. If you get on LinkedIn like most people do with a hunter mentality, I'm going to get on LinkedIn, I'm going to hunt a customer. Once I identify a potential customer, I'm going to fire that sales pitch at them. If they buy, I've won. If that customer is irritated by the fact I've been very pushy, I might have lost that relationship for life. So if you're hunting on LinkedIn and that's all you're doing, your brand is going nowhere because your brand is based on not who you know or what you know, but who knows you. So when you're hunting, you're under the radar. You've got to fish. That's my term for it. Fish is develop your brand or your bait, which is your LinkedIn profile. Know how to wiggle that little LinkedIn fishing pole, which is the LinkedIn system, to attract people to you. When you do that, your network and opportunities greatly expands. While you're fishing, your brand grows. And a lot of people find this very interesting to hear when I say it, but you can actually grow your personal brand and be out of a job. It's all in strategy, helping others, and being consistent. Brand development, one thing I've noticed is, based on my experience, is about a year-long process. About 90 days into it, you can feel some traction. 6 months into it, you know you're entering a different realm. And after 1 year, you're in an environment you cannot believe you're in. So it takes commitment, and there is a strategy on what you do every day on LinkedIn to grow your brand. But I will give you a tip. The number one thing, it's not about you. It's about other people.
So to that point, your tagline is relationships first. Why is that?
Well, you got to agree. Relationships are what life's all about. I mean, in fact, if you've ever gotten an email from me, you will notice my tagline. It says, relationships are key to personal happiness and professional success. I really believe that's the case. And on LinkedIn, it is absolutely the case. And the reason why it's the case is this. You cannot build your brand alone on LinkedIn. You have to develop relationships and branding partners who will open their pipeline for you and allow you to grow your network. So that's why relationships matter. Not only are they good for the heart and the soul, they're good for LinkedIn.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, the whole Business Radio X, we have grown incredibly over the years because based on relationships. It's all about relationships. Let me ask you this, though, because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering this now because you are the LinkedIn guy. You're the expert here. What are some of the mistakes that people make? You probably see them all the time. You're going across, you know, LinkedIn profiles and you're looking at folks going, oh, shouldn't have done that. What are some of the more common mistakes, Greg?
Well, what I hear first of all among companies is when I ask them, though, they're on LinkedIn, they get all excited about their company page going, I've got a company page. But what they don't realize is the company page has minimal value compared to the personal profile page. The company page can't build relationships. It's hard to grow that network at a rapid pace. So you've got to have at least one person part of that company with a personal profile strategy that can grow their personal brand and create opportunities for company updates to get into the pipeline. But the main thing I alluded to earlier is this. People get on LinkedIn, they want to hunt, or the other thing they want to do is I call them broadcasters. They get on LinkedIn and they want to show exactly how much they know. But what they don't understand on LinkedIn is this. Nobody wants to know what you know until they know you care. So until you find a network of people who actually care what you have to say, in my opinion, you're broadcasting, you're entertaining yourself. So that's some of the main things I see wrong with LinkedIn is getting on there with no strategy. Because I got to tell you, it's a lot harder to rebuild a brand than it is to build it the first time. So if you get on LinkedIn with the wrong strategy, you can really do a lot of damage.
So give us a few suggestions on what we should do daily to build that LinkedIn profile.
I've alluded to it several times earlier. Remember, it's all about other people. So would you be surprised to hear that number one is help somebody? So what does help somebody look like? That means finding someone in your network of connections who has shared an update that you can tag a like or a comment to. That's helping that person get that update into your network of connections. And it's also attaching your name to that person and getting your name out into their network of connections on that little like button. So that's the number one thing you can do is help other people. Second thing you can do, you've got to grow your network. You've got to build opportunities to build relationships. If you're not connecting, you're not setting up opportunities to build relationships. So I would suggest at least one or two connections to request per day. And lastly, once you start this branding process and people start caring about what you're doing and you can see a little swell of interest in your brand, at that point, you can start sharing update information. But again, it's not about what you know. It's showing you care, building a network of branding partners, because again, you can't do it by yourself and your brand is extremely important nowadays.
We're talking with Greg Burkhalter, the LinkedIn guy here on North Fulton Business Radio. How does it work with your clients? Do they hire you one time and you kind of go over things? Are you retained as a consultant? How does that relationship work with your clients?
It's all across the board. The one thing I can tell you is most people who have spent any time with me in training or branding strategy, they'll tell you I'm the LinkedIn police, which means once I train you and once I give you strategy on what you should do, I'm able to see, of course, everything you do. I'm going to watch you and I'm going to protect your brand, because once I train you and once I spend time with you, I consider you a strong potential branding partner. So I'm going to protect your brand and I'm trusting that you're going to try to protect my brand. Most of the people I train are one-on-one sessions. I do seminars. In fact, something recently I've started doing amazingly is colleges really want to know what this personal branding stuff's about. Recently, I went to UGA and spoke to students there who are just enthralled about this personal brand thing. They know Facebook, which is personality, but they don't know what a personal brand is. So I had the opportunity to speak to them about personal branding and made a few suggestions to some students there. And they have been really just all excited about this LinkedIn platform. Right now, millennials on LinkedIn, not a lot of millennials, 15% or less. Most of the people on LinkedIn right now are the decision makers, but the college students and the recent graduates are embracing LinkedIn, and that number is growing. A couple of key facts I want to leave you with briefly is about LinkedIn. There's over 450 million LinkedIn users, give or take a couple of million. Of those users, 40% of the users check LinkedIn every day. The key word is check. But only 20% of people use LinkedIn. That means they have a strategy. So if you have a strategy on LinkedIn and you approach it with a dedicated plan, you get above the noise real fast and you can grow your brand at a real good rate. Another thing I like about LinkedIn, I have total control over my brand. Nobody can muddy my brand. I am my greatest threat. So I protect my brand at all costs. In fact, there's two things I'm always protecting. One is my personal brand, and the other is the news feed of my connections, because I realize that everything I do shows up on their news feed. I don't want them to either hide my updates or remove me as a connection. Either one of those two items removes any chance of me building a relationship. So again, protect my brand, share quality updates, and again, number one, help other people. It's not about you.
John, as we do shows together, here's my sarcasm coming out. I wish Greg would be passionate about what he does.
I know it.
Holy cow.
And I feel like we've got some work to do after this show, right? You and I, we need to get working on our profiles now, right?
With some help from Greg. And Greg, with technology today, I mean, can you help clients anywhere in the country and anywhere in the world, actually?
Yes, I do it coast to coast. I do train people. I recently trained a individual in Silicon Valley who was looking for a rebranding effort. I've trained some local celebrities and stuff. I've even trained the housewife who has spent 10 years away from the workforce, who's trying to figure out how to brand themselves and make that transition back into the workforce. So yes, I can train anybody anywhere, as long as they have the patience. And the number one thing I'm looking for is commitment. If that person I'm training cannot commit to giving me 15 to 30 minutes a day, Monday through Friday, between the hours of 7 and 9 a.m. to do what I tell them, I am not going to train them, because it's going to be ineffective.
Is that one of the secrets? You want to do it early in the morning?
Remember, it's who knows you. So I want to do it at a time when the most eyeballs are looking at that news feed. Okay, so early in the morning, between 7 and 9. The best 2 days are Tuesday and Thursday, and the absolute cream of the crop day is Thursday morning. The worst times are the weekends If you see people on LinkedIn on the weekends, they're either playing catch up or they're entertaining themselves because they had a few spare moments. But
and nobody's seeing it.
They're seeing it and they're getting all excited.
They're not maximizing their efforts.
Absolutely not. Most eyeballs are early in the morning. And another thing I want to say briefly while I have an opportunity is if you're trying to do your branding on LinkedIn and you're using your cell phone, you are missing an opportunity to do correct branding. The newsfeed on the cell phone is about 1/20th of what it is on your desktop. So if you think you know what your network is doing by using your cell phone, you don't. It's a totally different algorithm. If you go to your desktop with one simple button, you can see everything in your LinkedIn network in chronological order by second. So the guy who is posting 10 times every 5 minutes, you know who that is. The person who is connecting to 10 people every hour, you know who that is. So use your desktop to stay up to date on your network and to grow your brand, and you will have LinkedIn success.
Just like Mayor David Belle Isle, I think we could do an entire show with Greg as
Absolutely.
Well. Greg, go ahead and give us you've got a great website. Give us your contact information, your website, where you want folks to send folks so they can find out all about your services.
I would love for them to log into LinkedIn and look at my profile, of course. Or they can check me out online at gregburkhalter.com. That's G-R-E-G-G, burkhalter.com. Also, you can contact me if you'd like via phone at 770-313-2385. I love nothing more than giving some free consultation information. And I can tell you, first of all, can I help you? And if I can help you, how long it's going to take me? And then I'll see if the dedication is there on your end. If it is, we got a match. We're off to LinkedIn branding.
Greg, great stuff. Really enjoyed hearing all this. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
All right. Greg Burkhalter, the LinkedIn guy here on North Fulton Business Radio. Real quick, North Point Executive Suites provides office and virtual solutions to fit every business need. With flexible terms and technology-enhanced turnkey offices, you'll enjoy all-inclusive rentals without hidden add-on charges. Meeting and conference room space is also available. Their service is second to none. Visit their privately owned locations in Alpharetta. We're in their Alpharetta location right now, or Duluth, and see for yourself. Visit NorthPointExecutiveSuites.com. At North Point Executive Suites, we position you for success. Dale Sizemore with VoterWorks is our third and final guest. Dale, you've got quite an act to live up to after these first two guests.
Yeah, they set the stage for me. It's great.
They absolutely did. All right, VoterWorks. Tell us what your company does, Dale.
VoterWorks helps improve the political discussion about breaking down some of the barriers that it takes to go run for political office. It shouldn't have to cost a fortune to run for political office. There's a lot of work involved with actually running for political office, and I'm sure Mayor Belle Isle and the rest of them know. It's difficult. It shouldn't have to be that difficult. And what we do is we provide better information at a fraction of the cost of other options to be able to find who the most engaged voters are. If you're going to go knock on everybody on Pin Oak Lane on their doors, there's only one house that's worth knocking on the doors and spending your time there before it rains this afternoon. Well, we empower that kind of information, and you don't have to spend a fortune to do it.
Let me ask my dumb question. I hope this is not a dumb question. Is there anything out there like this?
Yeah, it costs a lot more.
Okay. So how did this start?
Actually, I was a recipient of some of the things that that Mayor Belle Isle and Greg were talking about. The innovation in Alpharetta. I was leading the ATDC Alpharetta Startup Circle on Fridays at the Innovation Center that Mayor Belle Isle was talking about. And one of the city officials came up and said, you know, I ran for office. There's some issues there. It makes it difficult for people who don't have a lot of money and don't have a lot of time to run for office. Let's talk about this. So we put our noodles together, and next thing you know, we said this might be an idea, and we have started launching this thing out. And then we actually kicked it off last August, September, I guess, and it's been very well received. And so it allows us to be able to help people who want to run for office just do it within their time frame and their budget.
Now, what kind of political campaigns are using the service right now, Dale?
We thought it was just going to be local folks, city council and mayor and people like that in small towns. But fortunately, we've been very pleased to see that it's been everywhere from school boards, tax commissioners, city council, county commissioners, mayors, sheriffs, clerks of Superior Court, judges of all kinds, House and Senate, and even several people running for Congress have been using it. I had to go change my order for them for that one. So although we're only in Georgia right now, it's been very well received. People from all over the state, northeast, southwest, metro, rural, sophisticated, experienced people, all the way to first timers. All of them have been using it. And several of them have been very pleased with it, saying Would you be my campaign manager? No, thanks. And others have said it's been a big difference for them. Because think about this. You spend months and months and months knocking on doors and raising money and, you know, kissing babies and shaking hands, or shaking babies and kissing hands, or whatever. And all those things that have to go on in election night.
Don't shake the babies.
No, I guess it depends on the race. But anyway, you spend all this time and effort, money, and it comes down to the election night, and you got your friends there, and you got the punch and the cocktail weenies, and everybody's watching the results come in, and you lose by 2 votes. It happens. I mean, there's votes. States have got a tie-breaking mechanism, you know, coin tosses, short straws and things. I don't want people to have to be on the wrong end of that equation, and they shouldn't have to be longtime political experts to be able to improve the political discourse.
We're talking with Dale Sizemore with VoterWorks here on North Fulton Business Radio. What advice, Dale, would you give an aspiring political candidate? Let's say they want, you know, since David can't run for mayor, his term is up in 3 years, and they want to run for mayor or city council or some other position here in Alpharetta or anywhere in the area. What kind of advice would you give them?
A couple of points that I've learned. My business partner is a city councilman here, Jim Gilvin, and he's been in it a lot longer than I have. But one observation that I've learned just as an outsider to this process is start early. You can't start too early in this process.
But you could probably start too late, and that's not a good thing.
Absolutely. It's costly, it's frustrating, it's inefficient, but I would say if you're thinking of doing this, start early. Treat it like it is a startup. A political campaign is a startup. You have an idea, you want to validate it, and people say, yes, yeah, worth doing. You put you raise some money, you put your qualifications in, and you start selling, selling, selling. And if people buy your dog food, then you get elected. If you don't, then you go do something else. So treat it like it's an entrepreneurial experience. The third point would be, don't assume that what people have done in the past works. Because there's a lot of tools, a lot of innovation. You've seen the impact of social media, like Greg and others have talked about. You don't have to be a super dyna-whopping, you know, fancy political machine. But just don't assume that the voter list you had before or the way that you did it in the past is the best way of doing it, because things are constantly changing. And there's good news out there if you just look for it.
Now, Dale, you're headquartered in Alpharetta.
That's correct.
You work out of the Alpharetta Technology Commission that we've talked about with David. So tell us about your experience about running a business in Alpharetta, starting and running a business in Alpharetta.
It's been wonderful. I have a chance to talk to people all over the metro area.
And you're not just saying that because David's in the room, the mayor.
No.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
No, I've been here roughly 30 years and 32 years. And so I've had a chance to see it continuously improve. And Greg was talking about build your brand through consistency and so forth. And the Alpharetta area has been very, very good. It kind of annoys me when people talk about coming to Atlanta because that's the place to be. But no, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of good news outside the perimeter and Alpharetta in particular. I have seen in the Innovation Center a synergy come together. And it's not just the building. It's the people within the building, not just the tenants, but the people that run it. And being able to share ideas, and I can help you with your website, and oh, I know someone who's a good programmer, and things like that. And that's what is beginning to evolve into that community. And it's such a nice synergy to be able to find trusted resources and sometimes a group hug when you need it and having a bad day as an entrepreneur. But it's not just the big Fortune 1000 folks that are out there, because there's some big time news that's coming along. One company, for example, that I know of that I helped bring up to that facility, they may have a cure for Zika virus and dengue. Who'd have thunk? Yeah, headquartered in Alpharetta. So it's a biotech. But we have a good range of financial services and high technology and B2B and SaaS and products. And so it's a good environment in which to conduct business.
Dale, you're the co-founder of VoterWorks. What's been maybe one of the biggest challenges you've faced as you try to grow the company? And maybe if you could do something over again, what would you have changed?
Although we're still early in the process, we've had some very good surprises. The biggest challenge was getting access to people before they actually went through the qualification process, where they go to the Secretary of State's office or wherever, and they actually sign up to say, I'm really, really running. Well, from that point on, it becomes a horse race, and they're in it at this point. Finding those people who might be interested other than incumbents is kind of difficult. And then the incumbents are kind of waiting and seeing what's happening. And then as we saw this past election season, there were people coming in 10 minutes before the deadline and filing to run, which got the attention of some of the incumbents, of course. So there's a compressed time frame there that's required to get going. What would I do a little bit differently? Most everything we've done has worked really well so far. I'd share the work a little bit more. It's been basically a wonderful experience. We haven't had too many things that we need to go back and revisit and say, what was I thinking? No, it's been pretty good so far.
Let me ask you this. How big can this get? I mean, one day, will we see you helping with presidential campaigns? I mean, how far can we go with this?
Oh, my God. You've been talking to my wife, haven't you? Oh, Lord. It could go big, but my business partner, Jim Govan, and I have just intentionally decided to make this a lean operation. We're going to go to those states and those communities that are receptive to it. There are certain states that are, by their nature, the way that they have it set up, are not terribly friendly toward this kind of information. So we want to go beyond Georgia, but we don't have to go national to be successful. So we'll go where people want to work with us.
So one final question about your advice for startups.
Sure.
Okay, you mentor a lot of startups. You've been obviously involved in a lot of startups, and this one looks like it's getting some traction and moving ahead. So What advice would you give to entrepreneurs, startup entrepreneurs here in Alpharetta?
Look around at the opportunities and resources that are available to you. Validate your hypothesis early. Do your customer discovery. If you're going to make a mistake or if you find out that this is not really a viable option, find out quickly before you spend years and many thousands of dollars doing this. So you can use things like the ATDC and other startup environments. Read online resources as well. Talk to other folks like we do on Friday mornings. We share best practices and ideas and say, yeah, there's a better way of doing that. And whether it's a product or hosting or whatever, there's a lot of resources you can learn from quickly and determine whether this is going to be viable or not.
All right, Dale, for those who would like to find out more about VoterWorks, give us your website, any other contact information you'd like to share.
Sure, thank you. It's VoterWorks, VoterWorks.com, VoterWorks.com. Our direct line is 678-576-5100.
Dale, congratulations on the success so far. Great to meet you, and thanks for joining us here in the studio.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. Dale Sizemore with VoterWorks. Want to thank him. Also, our other guest, Greg Burkhalter with, well, he's the LinkedIn guy, gregburkhalter.com. And, of course, Mayor David Belisle of the city of Alpharetta. John, another great show. Thank you for helping line up the guests.
Absolutely. We could have talked a long time today, couldn't we?
We could have easily gone an hour, hour and a half, but I know these guys have some work to do. We don't want to keep them in the studio, so we'll let them go. So again, a great thank you to our guest and for all of our listeners as well. A reminder, you can follow this program on Twitter at NorthFultonBRX. One day we'll have a LinkedIn account for the studio. We're not there yet. We're so brand new, but one day with Greg's help, we'll make that happen. You can also follow all of our shows at NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com. For our producer, Trey, and for John Ray, I'm Mike Salmond. Appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.